thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They drafted a running back in the first round, which only stupid teams do. I'm sorry. That's how I feel, and you're not stupid. But it made me wonder if it was so bad that Josh McDaniels does have a say, because Josh likes to draft running backs. He's the reason you drafted Maroney. He drafted No'Shawn Moreno in Denver, and is he the next guy, and is he of influence, and does he actually think you need to draft a running back in the first round to get talent? I think it was a putrid pick. The guard tackle? Fine. You know, like, I have no... Some guard tackles come in day one and are great and really help you win, and if the guy can play, there's value there at 23, fine, no problem. Running back, give me a break when you can find those guys on the street, in the middle of the draft, on your practice squad, which this team has done routinely over the years. So I just hated that running back pick.
Well, I have a problem with the other one, too, if it's a guard. If he's a guard, I have a problem with it. Why was that a need? I thought Tooney was good and you got Mason. Why is that a need all of a sudden? I don't get it. And this idea now, like, see, I just get agitated with the flipping and the flopping on the draft. So like, people tell me the Patriots don't draft for need. But then they say, well, now they're going to draft defense. So they need defense, right? They need. So today they will draft for need. Yesterday they wouldn't. I'm sorry. I get here. I'm in a pissy mood today.
I can tell.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm in a pissy mood today, and this irritates the crap out of me. Because the fact is that no matter what they did, no matter what the Patriots did, the Toadies were going to sit there and say that they were good picks. Okay, that's all. I didn't think they needed a running back. I don't think they need a guard. So I'm supposed to now be happy just because, what, they added two players?
And I have to trust that he will play tackle, even though he's undersized. And I love the running back pick. I love the picks more than anything else because they weren't a quarterback at either of them. It wasn't Lamar Jackson, who many people like Jimmy Stewart were clamoring for. I don't want quarterbacks the rest of this draft, unless it's the fourth round and beyond, because it's about now. And those picks last night that they made proved they are about the now and surrounding Tom Brady with talent. And I love the Sony Michel pick even more because it's a running back, and you anti-Backus like you, Felger, have to sit there until you're blue in the face. Just, why are you doing this in the first round? Bah.
There's just too many facts on our side.
Yeah, I'm going to waste a first-round pick on a player that might make it 3 years because that's the average life of a running back in the National Football
Good.
League.
Good. What do I care about the Patriots in 5 years from now? Oh, the future. Oh, how's your 401k? I don't care about anything. I care about Tom Brady and the
Come
now.
On, Murray.
Tom Brady and the now. That's what I care about. The now. What you have left with Tom Brady. That's the only thing I give a rat's ass about with this team right now.
Murray, I thought the core Patriot philosophy was long-term building. We want multiple years in the AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, not 1 year. Go for it.
Yeah, well, that went out the window when they made the Garoppolo trade last year. Even though I don't believe in him, obviously the coach did. So when they made that decision, it's about now. It's about the remaining time with Brady. So good.
Well, then that violates everything that they stand for as an organization philosophy.
No, I would also like to know when a running back became important to their offense. Like, when did that become an important thing?
They're following the trends of the league, and these guys getting drafted high. They're important in the league now. And not winning.
And not winning. Yes, teams have started to draft these guys again in the first round, and you wonder why. Why? What does it matter if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a defense? I gave it to you, Murray. I keep giving it to you.
I know, Mike. I know.
What if these guys won? And if you think...
It's changed the Dallas Cowboys. Changed the Rams. Yeah, it changed the Panthers. It changed the Jacksonville Jaguars, who almost beat you in the AFC Championship game.
Wait a minute.
Last.
It changed the Panthers?
Yeah, with Christian McCaffrey last year.
Didn't change him one bit. And I look at that guy.
They were
and say,
always a running team anyway. That's how they've been built inside out.
When you watch that guy play, you spent the eighth pick on that. Does he really make people miss? Like, little scat back, you know, doer thing, you know, factor
dual
back.
Threat like, in the passing game and as a running back, just like Michelle's going to be for the Patriots.
You take him out of the fourth round because that's where James White, third round, or Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt come from, the third round. You don't need to spend a first round pick to get that player. Like I said before, my anti-backism falls into two categories. One, you don't need a great running back to win a Super Bowl. You usually need a passing game and a defense. Like, that's it. You know, that's what really matters in that league. So I will debate you whether you even need a great running back. But even if you want to tell me that it helps, I'll tell you, fine, it helps. You don't need to spend on it. You don't need to spend free agent dollars on it. You don't need to spend big contract dollars on it. And you sure as hell don't need to draft it high. Jay Ajayi was big from Philly. He came from, you know, a mid-round pick in the middle of the year just to throw in. And the other guy was the LeGarrette Blount, who, I'm sorry, blows. You've won with Antoine Smith. You've won with LeGarrette Blount. Corey Dillon was big for you. He helped you. Where'd you get him? Third-round pick reclamation project. That's where I want my backs. Some guys say that this guy is a upgrade over Deion Lewis. What did Deion Lewis cost you? Nothing, zero. You got him from off the street. That's where I want my backs. Not in the first round. And all these sexy guys. So look, I said this too. that the running back people fall into certain categories. They're either fantasy players, because again, you draft all these running backs, and you, so it deludes you into thinking that running backs matter. And so I would put like casual fans in that same category. But it's the fantasy players. It's a college football fan who, you know, running backs do matter in college football. Grant you that. No doubt about it. So you're a college football fan. Then there's like Murray, this little subset of people who spent even 30 seconds in Atlanta and for some reason want to talk about Atlanta sports.
Not really what
which
it is.
Murray's dying to. And like anyone who ever just brushed through Atlanta for a second feels the need to talk my face off about Atlanta.
Like and college football, kind of still follow
no
it.
No one cares about Atlanta. So
and the NFL has trended towards that game in terms of the offense. It's more spread out. The defensive backs, the linebackers are smaller. So running backs now matter in this league,
Not really. And the fourth category is former offensive linemen and former running backs who want to think they're important and that their job mattered. Wait till you saw how many offensive linemen. Just look at them. The people who like this pick, they're usually offensive linemen because you get your pad level down, you establish the run, and they want to think that they're important when really they're just there to take a step back and protect the quarterback. So all these things, it's like, you want a good running back? I'll take it. Fine. I want them taken where they got Deion Lewis, not Sonny Michel. That's it. That's my Michael thing.
Sonny Michel.
Okay, so
I think they're worried that their quarterback's going to start slipping. That's what I think.
So that's okay. The Saints did the same thing last year. And granted, Alvin Kamara wasn't a first-round
pick.
Where
was he drafted?
What, third round?
Third round. Thank
it's
you.
Probably still too high by third your
round.
Standards.
No, I said,
and if you redrafted the draft right
round.
Now, Mike, Kamara would go in the top 25.
You'd be stupid to do so.
So all those other teams that could use a guy like that, they'd be stupid to do that?
Yeah. Pretty much, when you can draft a pass rusher,
Le'Veon
or
Bell,
a corner,
who went 65th overall, he wouldn't go in the top five in the 2013 draft,
and you'd be stupid.
But Le'Veon Bell? Are you kidding me?
You'd be stupid to do it. Yeah,
oh
the
my
first
God.
Round when it's more about your quarterback and protecting your quarterback and throwing the football, you would get a runner who's not as good, but would be good enough, all that you needed in the fifth round, and not have to spend much on him.
I'd like the Patriots to build an offensive line with five guards. I think that that's what they could do. Andrews is basically a guard. The two guards are guards. Now they have a hybrid guy who should play left tackle as a guard, and maybe they can pick up another one for the right end. That'd be good right tackle.
Okay.
You have five guards.
Back to your phones. Matthew in Framingham. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Murray, you got one thing right, though. It does seem like the Patriots, the way they're making moves, they're thinking of now. So I hated the trade. I mean, you know, I know it's his, you know, it's his contract year. But the guy shows up out of shape. Obviously, you know, he's not that motivated. And then as far as the draft, I think the Patriots at 23 was sitting there waiting for the inside linebacker, Evans. And the Titans knew it. And they drafted
so
down.
So that's not the report.
Pick.
Yeah, Matthew, that's not the reports. Reports are that they were trying to get the center from Arkansas.
Which scares me even more.
Named Frank Agnew. And Patricia usurped him. And
Ragnow.
Took Ragnow. Whatever. Frank Ragnow. And, like, that's even scarier.
It is scarier, again. Like, so now they're targeting a center? What's the need there? So, like, this whole, like, I'm sorry, again, this drives me bananas. We don't draft for need. Well, okay, then don't take any linebackers. I mean, if they all suck, don't take any.
They might not.
They will. They will. Of course they're going to draft defense today. Like, I just don't tell me one, and then they have them do the other and say, well, yeah, they needed it. Of course. So, like, I would just assume that they had traded up and got one of the linebackers. I'd feel better about it.
Joe, do you agree in the car? Joe.
I agree that we have to get some defensive players here. This is too much. They're going too much offense. They need some speed at linebacker, and they need a pass rusher.
What was the score of the Super Bowl?
41.
You gave up, I keep saying in the 30s, stupid me. You gave up 40-plus to a backup quarterback.
41-33, I think it was.
You gave up 40-plus to a backup quarterback. Meanwhile, your offense didn't punt, and you're drafting guards and running backs, and you're okay with it. Bill can do whatever he wants, miss. He can do whatever he wants.
I told you this. Again, the best possible person to ever come back in, as if you believe in reincarnation, is Bill Belichick. You can do whatever you want. Everybody will say it's a great move and that you're a genius and you're two steps ahead of everyone, and you get a hot blonde super cougar.
You always include that. Derek
well,
in the car.
I mean, she's hard to overlook.
Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, so the thing about drafting the guard last night is he's going to take Tooney's spot. Tooney's 6'5", the only interior lineman on the roster now with the size to move out to tackle. So I think they're going to move him over to left, keep Cannon on the right, keep a little continuity on the line, and that's going to be your line come next year. And, Felgi, I'm with you on the Michel pick. Absolutely hate it. I mean, how many more points per game is he going to add to the team? And then coming off of James White's playoff performances, you really need a running back more clutch than that? I just don't get it.
Well, especially when you got James White in the third round and Deion Lewis from the street. and you've traded for Mike Gillisley. Is he still here?
I can't remember. He is, unfortunately.
And you paid for him, and you got this kid from Cincinnati. What's with all the and two kids from Cincinnati?
Gillisley,
right?
Burkhead, Hill, and White, and they drafted a running back. Again,
and all of those
Gillisley,
guys, none of them
Hill,
as dynamic
and White.
As who they just drafted.
They don't need a dynamic running back. This is the point. And this idea of moving Tooney out to tackle, I'd rather have Isaiah Wynn play there because I know Tooney sucks. At least with Isaiah Wynn, there's a chance that he's going to be good. So I'll take my chances there. Tooney to tackle? Forget it.
I hope Mason Rudolph goes right before their next pick.
Meanwhile.
Because he knows I want Mason Rudolph. See?
I know what he's
that
doing now.
That was very spiteful, Mari.
No.
That was spiteful.
Meanwhile, don't ever, ever besmirch the Felger Maz big board again. Don't ever talk down to it. Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever say anything about it. Don't even look at it. Don't even think of raising your voice to the Felger and Maz big board. We discuss this right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger.
I like anti-coupon. And Maz. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
From the Felger and Maserati Archives, 23 April 2018.
Felger Maz big board.
Yeah, we warm up with the fat guys on Monday.
We get this stuff out of the way. O-line, D-line today, and then we get to all the good positions. Go ahead. Hit a guard for me, Maz. Hit it well.
Go.
Chuck it.
Ooh.
Oh, nailed one. Okay, break up. Okay, so that was from last year. You actually hit on Dan Feeney again. They just gave you a little box that has the breakout players from last year. So the closest two from this year's draft, Isaiah Wynn from Georgia. He's a projected first-round pick, Maz. Star running backs Nick Chubb and Sony Michael generated most of the buzz for SEC champion Georgia in 2017, but their flashy senior campaigns, Murray, were certainly enhanced by stellar blocking up front with wins at left tackle paving the way.
That's actually Sony Michel.
Oh, whatever. So he's, I guess he's listed as a guard here, but he played tackle at Georgia.
All right.
How about them apples?
Beautiful.
Okay.
It means he's versatile. We like versatility, too.
Okay, I'm going to put him on the board.
With the 23rd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
Wow.
It happened again. Felger Maz big board strikes. We throw markers at draft magazines. And for the seventh time in 7 years, we hit a player the Patriots took. And this was the first guy out of the chute.
I'll tell you, it's uncanny.
It is strong.
And I'm going to make a prediction. We're not done in this draft. We're not done. We're getting another one.
Well, the BC kid we hit on is still there. Kyle Aletta, the quarterback, is still there. Another quarterback. Who was the kid? Hill? Something like that? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The kid from Western Kentucky or whatever.
I can't remember. The Jackrabbits. So, whatever. There's still time to go. Seven players in 7 years. And last year was the only year we missed, except that's why I mentioned the Dan Feeney kid. We hit on Dan Feeney, offensive lineman in Indiana, and he went the pick before the Patriots at 72, who were going to take him. So the big board, this year's big board is so strong that we hit on last year's pick again, and then because I just always go closer to, I can't sit around and wait these guys to actually hit the name right where it is. You've got to, if they miss, you got to go to the closest two. The closest two was this Wynn character, who they ended up taking in the first round. In the write-up, I give you Sony Michael, okay? I give you Sonny Michel. I give that to you there in that write-up. And then reports are today that what the Patriots really wanted to do, according to the Detroit Free Press, both the Bengals who picked 21 and the Patriots who picked 23 wanted to take a center out of Arkansas named Frank Ragnow. That was their top target. What's so funny?
I can't believe that they were going to draft a center. I can't believe it.
So apparently the Patriots tried to move up in front of the Lions to get their man. The Athletic's Jeff Ha reported earlier on Thursday that the Patriots had been all over Ragnow during the build-up to the draft, with former head coach Brett Bielema, who's now working for New England, leading the way. The lineman did not allow a single sack in the Razorbacks' career. Now, this scares the crap out of me. We're taking cues from Brett Bielema. This guy is a tool bag. This guy is a first-class tool bag. And yes, I'm a spurned Badger fan. Yep, So I know that this guy is a snake. And now Bill's like relying on, this is like his latest college buddy, Brett Bielema. Or Bielema, how you pronounce it? I still don't even know. He was my coach, and I don't even know. So now this is the new, who is it, guy, Rutgers? This is the new Nick Saban.
What's his name?
Pete Schiano.
Greg Schiano.
Like, this is the new guy, Brett Bielema? Oh, brother, spare us. So the Patriots actually wanted to draft this Ragnow guy. Guess who also had that? Guess who also had that, people? Go back to Monday, April 23rd, when we were throwing markers at the interior linemen.
Some good guys on this page here, Maz. Hit them.
Throwing a blue Sharpie.
Go.
Yeah. Oh, nailed one.
Here we have Frank Ragnow from Arkansas. The powerfully built Ragnow possesses rare size for a center but can remain at this position due to his knee bend, which helps him anchor against bull rushers and root out opponents in the running game, Maz.
Yeah, wait till Guerrero gets a hold of him. We won't be doing any knee bends.
So don't ever doubt the Felger Maz big board. We've done it again. We've got 2 days to go. And picks still on the board.
I'm telling you, we're going to get another one tonight, I feel it.
Well, and this year feels like a strong year for the board.
I felt good about the board going into this this draft. I'm not joking. Oh. Like, as we threw it, thinking, you know, we're gonna hit on something this year.
Back to your phones. Guillermo in Stoneham. Go ahead, Guillermo.
Hi, guys. Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. I just want to say I've got a couple of comments about how the Patriots could use Rob Gronkowski more effectively. But I just want to say... thank you. You guys have a great show. I'm different than most of your callers. I'm much older, I think.
Okay, Guillermo, we also have a rule, no pleasantries, but thank you for the call and thank you for all this. Can you give me a Rob Gronkowski point?
Yes, I didn't know about the rule.
Yeah, just go ahead. Just go ahead.
New sports fan. I think that they could use Rob Gronkowski a number of ways. The first way, I'm not sure of the terminology. Again, I'm new to sports in general. Mm-hmm. But use him to where he lines up behind the quarterback, and then they would put the ball directly to him, and he would run it from behind there.
Got it. Hand off to him as a running back. I did never think of that.
I mean, he's new to football.
Guillermo, thank you for the call. Honestly, thanks for the call and for listening. We do appreciate it. We don't mean to make fun of you, but frankly,
teasing you, but God.
How can't we?
He's not a running back.
How can't we? Nick in Rehoboth. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing? I was so happy to see that Lamar Jackson is not a Patriot. I was praying the whole time that 23 wasn't Lamar Jackson and that 31 was not Lamar Jackson. That would have been the worst move we could have done, I think.
So I agree. Like, but that's my one saving grace from last night. It wasn't Lamar Jackson.
Like, I was literally scared each moment waiting for that pick to come in just because of that.
Well, so the time to do it was 31, too. And at 31, you knew, like, that was the moment of truth. At 23, it didn't feel right. At 31, and again, I mentioned this earlier, the fifth-year rookie option, if you're going to take a quarterback in the second round, you're sort of better off taking him at the very end of the first, and you think he can play, because then you get a fifth-year rookie option. You get 5 years of team control versus four, which again, Maz, I will set you up. If they had done that with who, he'd still be here.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
So they drafted Garoppolo in the second. If they drafted him at the end of the first, you have him on this fifth-year rookie option, and everyone's a winner. Bill gets to keep his guy. It's not that cost prohibitive. It's a, you know, I don't know, maybe it's $10 million. It's something, whatever.
It's good that Damian Easley has been such a dominant force on the defense. Oh, wait.
So instead, they took Dominic Easley in the first round that year and Jimmy Garoppolo in the second. If they had flipped those two, Garoppolo's still here. So when the Patriots were at 31, I said, this is where it happens. This is where it happens because they're going to learn their lesson from Garoppolo and you want that fifth-year team control. It's just the smart thing to do. And they didn't do it. And they only made it worse by drafting a running back. Like, I was like, great, you didn't draft Lamar. Oh, wait, a running back? You're kidding me. And then what did Baltimore do at the very next spot?
They took Lamar Jackson.
They traded up to 32 to take Lamar Jackson because you take him with that fifth. So like that I found that whole piece interesting. And at 31, I was holding my breath too. We've got Mitchell and Natick. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Hey, you going? Yeah, with the Patriots draft here, you know what? I was very shocked when they picked a running back. That blew my mind. Very glad they didn't grab that quarterback or even a quarterback. You can get them a dime a dozen. But that offensive tackle, it's a good need. But, I mean, Belichick, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I mean,
sure
he hasn't won all those championships.
No, that's right.
Without knowing what he's doing. He's done well drafting.
Right, like benching Malcolm Butler.
Well, that has nothing to do with drafting. I'm saying drafting. We're talking about drafting.
I see.
Anyway, Dalton should have played. I agree. Is that what you're saying?
Of course that's what Mass is saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying you said he didn't win all those championships because he doesn't know what he's doing. I said like benching Malcolm Butler.
Bill has had his ups and downs at the draft.
They all have.
For sure, right, exactly. He's pretty good, though. He's really good.
My issue, ultimately, look, I told you, I don't love the idea of what they did in the first round, given what their issues are. Okay, that's what I don't love. I don't love the fact that they took a guard/tackle who feels like more of a guard, but if he's a tackle, fine.
Let me do this real quick.
Go.
Because Bill's track record in the first round is pretty good. I'm going to give you all their first-round picks. You tell me whether you feel good about the pick or not. His first-round pick in New England was 0-2, 21st overall, Dan Graham.
Nah.
No, right? I mean, didn't you,
no.
Wouldn't you expect more out of that?
Yes.
Okay. In 2003, Ty Warren at 13.
Yes. A good pick.
2004, Ben Watson at 32.
Good pick.
It's another one that's really twin.
I liked Watson, though. I thought he was pretty good.
21, Vince Wilfork.
Yes.
Win.
Grand slam home run. 05, Logan Mankins at 32.
Win.
Grand slam home run. Oh, schedule day. Oh, schedule day. And 07, Brandon Merriweather at 24.
No.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's a win.
He sucked. No.
Okay. 2000.
Well, what's the tie-breaking
vote? Come on. They're a fence sitter.
Okay, so no. It's a no. It's a no. So look, there's another category that how many busts does he have? Like Lawrence Maroney's not a bust, and Brandon Merriweather's not a bust, and Dan Graham's not a bust. I only think he has one bust, but that's why I asked it. Do you feel good about that pick or not? I don't feel good about Brandon Merriweather. I don't like Lawrence Maroney. I don't like in 07 Brandon Merriweather. Did I say that or just Maroney?
You didn't say Maroney, but Maroney's a no.
Okay, Lawrence Maroney in 06 at 21.
No.
No.
No! Running back. When you guys agree, you got Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Tom Brady throwing bombs, you're going to draft a running back? Like, would you give me a break? Merriweather in 07, I'm a no, too.
No.
Gerard Mayo, 10th overall in 08.
Yes.
Home run. Devin McCourty, 27 in 2010.
Yes. Obviously.
Yep. Even though they drafted him as a corner, we'll give it to him. Nate Solder at 17 overall in 2011.
Yes.
Win.
Okay, 2012 at 21 and 25, respectively. Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower.
Yes, on both.
Yep.
Yes and yes. 14, Dominic Easley at 29.
No.
No.
It's their only bust. Only bust. Malcolm Brown at 32 in 2015.
Yes. I'd say, yeah, it's kind of to the point where he's been a good player.
You know, what's sort of lost in this is there are three full years. I'm sorry. 5 years where you never made a pick, you cheating bastards. You stop cheating. You'll have more first-round picks. So, you haven't made a first-round pick in the last 2 years. You didn't make one in 2009. There's just too much cheating going on there. And then 01, you had to give up your pick for Belichick. Good trade. I'll grant you that. But there's a lot of years you didn't even make a first-round pick. So, look, if we look at that, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 we feel bad about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 we feel good. 7, 5 in terms of do we feel good or not. That's still a good track record. If you're over 50% at the draft in any round, I'd say that's a good track record. The key to Belichick in the first round is he's never had a bust. He's never had a bust, except for Dominic Easy. That's it. So, I'm going to try and say it properly. I don't want to disrespect the kid. Sony Michel. Is Sony Michel going to be a bust? Probably not. But boy, you can get someone just like that, I think, off the street or in the third or fourth round, and you don't need to spend a first-round pick on it.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
15 left. All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in Game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
98.5, the Sports Hub has you covered. Dunkin' Donuts pregame starting at 2:30, Murray? The half hour pre?
Yeah.
Okay, 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock puck drop here on your home for the Boston Bruins. You can also listen to the game on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. You can catch all of our shows, all of our podcasts, all that, and the game. So it's not like some of these other leagues that blackout app viewage or streaming, right? I think in the NHL, you can stream the game on 98.5thesportshub.com and the app on your phone. So that's how you listen to the game. If you're watching on TV, myself and Amante have you covered post-game coverage at NBC Sports Boston. So flip on over to 8:52 for most of you to catch me and Amante discussing Bruins Lightning. How do you look at this series, Mass?
To me, I think this is going to be in some ways similar to the last one. I think you're going to see some goals in this series. I mean, I think you saw some goals in the last one. So I'll tell you what, I'm not picking. Okay, learn my lesson.
Oh, come on.
I'm not picking.
What is this?
You can go shove it.
So we had a philosophy on this team that everyone, we had a philosophy on the show that everyone bought into. It's a commandment. Pick it and stick it. Prediction radio is dumb. It's a dead end. I don't like it.
I just want opinions.
Okay, so fine. Maz,
strong opinions are good. We've had them for most of the day.
Fine, I think you're in trouble this series.
So to me, I think you're going to see goals. And to me, how Rask plays here, if I'm Cassidy, I'd go with Rask in game one. If he doesn't play well, I'm putting Hudobin in there for game two. Give Rask a break, give him a blow, do something, because he didn't play well in that Toronto series. Do I think this series is winnable? Of course. Yes, you get a couple of breaks. Of course it's winnable. Absolutely. Do I think they're favored? No, I don't. I think Tampa's a favorite.
So here's how I look at it. I think that Tampa has the advantage in experience. They have a lot of guys. They went to the Cup Finals 3 years ago. And a lot of the guys that were there are still here, including the coach. So they've been through this. Stamkos has never won a cup. You know, every dog has his day, and not that he's a dog. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. I think he's going to win one of these years. And he's experienced, and he's hungry, and oh, by the way, okay, so there's that intangible. I give that to the Lightning. Their forward group is amazing. But what's different about them, I wonder how this is going to play, is that they really do front load their first line like you do. Toronto was different. Toronto spread out all those 30-goal scores. Tampa, Stamkos, Kucherov are two MVP candidates. They play on the same line. Again, this is just according to what I'm pulling up here. Maybe it'll be different tomorrow. But, you know, the most recent updates here is Stamkos and Kucherov play on the same line. And JT Miller also, who's been amazing since he's come over from the Rangers. That is a top-heavy, legit line. So my big question is, how does John Cooper, that's the coach in Tampa, does he go strength on strength, or does he send a checking line out against Bergeron, or does he let Stamkos and Bergeron go head-to-head all series? And if that's the case, that's a fun matchup. That's a big matchup. Stamkos, Kucherov, Miller, and Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand. That's a big one. It's a good one.
If I were him, I'd keep him away from Bergeron. I like my chances with that his line against anybody else on the Bruins. That group?
It's nasty. You don't want to get on the penalty kill against these guys, Kucherov and Stamkos. Stamkos is as nasty as it gets from that left faceoff circle. It's him and Ovechkin. So you want nothing to do with the Lightning on the power play. But again, so they have this depth too, which the Leafs had with guys like Tyler Johnson and Palat and Kelonen. They got guys down in those lower lines who can really play too. So that's how they're similar to Toronto. How they're different from Toronto is that they also have a guy like Chris Kunitz. Well, maybe Kunitz and Plekanec sort of are similar. Older guys have had a lot of success in the league, success against you, have won cups, except Plekanec hasn't, but Kunitz sure has. And they got some checkers. They have some experienced sort of older checkers where Toronto didn't really once you got past Plekanec. They also have Callahan, who, is he hurt or is he healthy? I don't know. I got to check on that if he's been playing or not. But I think the real difference between Tampa and Toronto is Tampa's D is awesome. And their goalie's much better than Frederik Andersen or, I think, your guy. I mean, depending what Tuukka we get. If you get the Tuukka that we just got this series, they have a huge edge in net. If Rask plays to his capabilities, that's a wash. Or it's close. Vasilevsky's really good. But when Rask is on, he's really good. So
if Rask is on, I know I shouldn't, because on paper, Tampa is the better team, but... You know, if I'm going to take away from this regular season, and I'm going to, I know there's only so much you can put into that, the Bruins seem to be in this team's head because they've dominated them this year.
So what's that impact? Why have you had such good regular season success against them? Does that help Rask, who's a mental case? But he sees the blue and white, he sees the Lightning and says, ooh, I feel good about, you know, I'm always good against these guys, and that helps him. And does that play out? So the goalie's a huge thing. I'm sorry, when you lose a goalie matchup, and if Tuukka plays the way he did last round, you've definitively lost the goalie matchup. It's hard to win playing against talented teams like Tampa. But the real difference, I'll just finish here, is their D. Their D is deep, experienced, loaded. Hedman and Giardi, I guess, play together. Ryan McDonough, Strahlman, who I love, play together. They have Mikhail Sergachev, who's this rookie. That was the player the Canadiens traded to Tampa for Drouin in that trade. Sergachev is like their Charlie McAvoy. That's how they treat him. He's a rookie, but really good and really bright future and all of that. That suck D in Toronto, you're not going to get that here, Murray. You're not going to get Jake Gardner tripping right all over himself.
Yeah, no, unfortunately.
So that's a big deal. So this is why I'm led to believe, Maz, this might be lower score. I think this is going to be lower scoring than the Toronto series. There's more guys who can play D on Tampa, and you have guys that can play D.
See, I wonder if the Bruins are going to be able to stop these guys. I had the same concern against Toronto. I just think you get a lot of forwards to contend with there. And if the goalie doesn't play well, you're giving up goals.
So I think game one's important. They've been sitting there. Tampa's been sitting for a week, over a week. You come in riding that emotional high. Sometimes that helps you in game one. You can go steal one. Weird afternoon start time. So you'll be up. They'll be shaking off the rust and trying to see if you can steal one down there and come back 1-1 and see where you go from there. So it should be good either way. The you know, say what you want about how the Bruins played or Toronto. Like, those were compelling, great games. That was a great series, and I think it's going to be another good one. Really good one. Bucks Celtics. You give the Bucks a chance? I'll ask you again.
Sure. Yes, of course I give them a chance.
And that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston on the TV.
But in the NBA, in Game 7 at home, I'll take the home team. I mean, but do I give the Bucks a chance? Sure. You said earlier you think this game's going to be a blowout. I don't think that.
I do.
I don't think it's going to...
Yeah, I don't think a blowout. I'm more with Maz. I think it'll be closer to be competitive, but it's also going to be rote. In other words, it's just another first-round series in the NBA that's gone seven, and the home team's going to win, and that's the Celtics.
This thing will be single digits, ultimately. That's what's going to get it decided. I mean, decided by. The margin of victory will be single digits. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it never gets into double digits the whole game.
Are there stakes?
Yes.
Of course.
What are the stakes?
I think it's simply about the coach. You know, for everything that we've been told about Coach Brad Stevens and how he's the second best coach in the league behind Pop, I'm sorry, even with all the injuries, you lose to the Bucks with home court, it's inexcusable. And I think his reputation kind of takes a hit, because you mentioned it earlier. You would now have lost to the Atlanta Hawks at home, and you have lost to the Milwaukee Bucks in seven. When you're the better coach, I've been told you're, you know, someone argue the best coach in the NBA, you lose at home. I don't care. I don't care about the injuries. You got Marcus Smart back earlier than you were expected to. He was supposed to come back only if it was game seven. You'll now have had him for three games. You can't lose on Saturday night. You can't.
I also think that if you can get your young guys to play well, you can still get to the conference final.
So that's what I look, you know, we're deprived of Boston Philly, which would be a really fun series. Two up-and-coming teams, a lot of young talent. There'll be an edge on both those sides. Like, that's the future, chapter one. Like, that I would really look forward to, and you would be robbed of that if they lose on Saturday.
I mean, you want to make Boston a destination. Win this game, beat Philly without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. I think, and with Tatum and Brown playing major roles, you'll have people looking at this team going, I got to get there. I got to play with these guys. They're going to be even better next year. And I don't mean just because Kyrie and Hayward are coming back. I mean Brown and Tatum are going to be better next year.
This is why, you know, what you mentioned, too, that we would be robbed of Philadelphia, Boston. The league would. And, we still know they make dubious calls. The Celtics are going to get some calls tomorrow night. They're going to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Even though they have star power with Giannis, the league wants Celtics Sixers in that next round.
They've gotten the calls all series. What's the free throw disparity? You hearing out there at NBC Sports Boston? You freaking homers, babies, crying about the refs all the time? The Celtics have gotten the balance of the calls. You wouldn't know it, though. Listen to us.
I mean, Boston-Philly would be fun, but I don't know. You think the league would rather have Giannis and Embiid?
What does the casual fan want? This Bucks team. Outside of the Greek Freak, watching this team, it's awful.
That's
it's like a root canal.
That's all you need.
No, I think they want Celtics. For the heritage of it, I think they want Celtics-Sixers.
I mean, Celtics-Sixers would be dynamite.
Dynamite.
It would be dynamite.
Because just what it is, it's like it's chapter one, because you know those teams. Especially if LeBron goes there, but even if he doesn't, you know, it's you and Philly, it looks like. And that would be chapter one, and Philly's feeling it, right? And again, like I said, they have all these great sideshow elements, like, you know, the Nelson Mandela. I mean, Malik Mill, that guy, you know, all of a sudden is a...
Malik Mill.
Whatever, you know, national hero. Kevin Hart, or whatever. Like, all that nonsense, and Allen Iverson, like, all that great accoutrement, they have it. They have it. So that comes your way tomorrow at 8 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boom. Big day tomorrow. Draft tonight with Jones and Cattles, right? Hopefully they draft more running backs for Jones and fill out his board. You'll hear his reaction to the draft coming up. Why don't we do it next in the final word? You don't want to miss this. This is Adam Jones reacting to the draft last night.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Murray, want to thank again our sponsors on Agenda Free Friday, realizing the sheer power of this day and this program. We're brought to you by Planet Fitness on Agenda Free Friday. The world judges, they don't, Murray. PlanetFitness.com.
All right, so we have a live feed yesterday, late last night actually, from Adam Jones, Nick Cattle.
This dweeb.
Their reaction to pick number 31 made by the New England Patriots.
The Dark Knight.
Yep.
This ought to be good.
Got to rethink that nickname.
Go Georgia with picks at 23 and 31. Hang on. Mason says let's hit the podium. Pick number 31. Here's Goodell.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel.
Yeah! Yeah!
Georgia.
Wow. Okay.
So,
all right. All right, Cattles.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. I know who's going to hate this tomorrow. That would be afternoon drive. That would be Mike Felger, 2-6. You're dumb if you draft a running back.
Can I just stop right
there? And I know, Nick. I know.
Isn't that that's his first reaction.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
How far are we in that kid's cage?
No, that's it. Good job.
Doesn't take fumbling it?
Doesn't take much. It's wide open.
Issues at Georgia?
Go ahead.
He's been medically red flagged. Who had the report last night, Mike Lombardi, that he might be bone on bone? His knee might be bone on bone, and he may not make it through his second contract. Whatever. You know who Sony Michel is? Alvin Kamara.
Oh,
Alvin Kamara, rookie of the year on offense last year for New Orleans.
Neat.
He is that kind of player.
Neat.
So, you lose Deion Lewis? Oh, well, you just upgraded with Sony Michel. Pass game back. They do go back-to-back Georgia, Nick.
Yep.
They go Isaiah Wynn, not Lorenzo Carter. They go with a running back here. Admittedly, I wanted help on defense first, front seven, even corner. I definitely didn't want running back, quarterback rather, but I'm okay with running back. I am not anti-running back, and I think that Sony Michel is the second best back in this draft. Yes, better than Darius Geis, who's not been picked yet, and certainly better than Rashad Penny, who went where? To Seattle, number 27.
I'm stunned that he was as pumped up for it
as
he was.
I told you, the people who like running backs.
Right, those of us that actually watch college football.
Fantasy fans, college football fans, former offensive linemen who want to talk to you about pad level, because they think that really matters. And then there was a fourth category that, people from Atlanta who want to, for some reason, talk about Atlanta sports.
But
of the big three, fantasy players, college football fans, and former offensive linemen, he's two of the three. He's a big fantasy player, and he's a college football dork. So he's excited as crap for his PPR league, and he gets to be justified in watching college football on Saturdays.
Cattles was suspiciously silent right there.
Yeah, I don't know if he likes it.
He didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, Joe
yeah.
Jones is so, he was so
right.
positive.
Like, his head spun.
I think Cattles was conflicted because he likes the player because he, too, is like a college sports dork, right? I mean, he watches, first of all, he like watches everything everywhere, which is, I don't know how you have the time, but that's beyond that. The other thing is, he likes the player, he doesn't love the position.
And he doesn't like Jones. So what do you do there?
Yeah.
He likes the player, but he hates Jones.
He didn't know what to do.
That's kind of how the Twittersphere was about this. Like, wait a minute. I'm supposed to side with the Patriots, but Jones likes it?
Where do you go with that?
Yeah, you get a big ice cream headache from that.
But Jones is the perfect guy to like this pick.
I mean,
dork in college football watching.
I'm disappointed in Jones. Because he himself said, I wasn't expecting a running back, but I love this guy. Like, oh, okay. All right. To me, anyway, go ahead, Mike.
All right. We also have Mad Mike going.
I'm not going to get derailed again. Go. Patriots fans piss me off at draft time, but go.
Mad Mike on the high hips. A lot of high hip talk when we get to the NFL draft year in, year out.
Here's Chris Jones, Mississippi State. Strengths. Agile lower body to sidestep blocks and operate in small spaces.
He's got good technique.
Weaknesses. High-hipped.
High hips. The high hips, always a problem. Good for childbearing, not so much for defensive tackle.
Draft talk is so dumb. This is why we do this, to show you how stupid it is to talk about the draft. His weaknesses is that his hips are high. High-hipped. High-hipped.
I had that problem as a kid.
His belt rides a little more. You can see his ass crack. High-hipped. High-hipped.
He plays a little stiff.
Doesn't consistently bend at his knees. He's a stiff fella. High-hipped. 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 I've never heard that before.
I like him. Good value.
What do you mean high hips? High-hipped. And doesn't consistently bend at the knees? Who is this? Herman Munster plays flat-footed, narrow-based, inconsistent pad level off the snap, rushing upright and struggling to get underneath blockers. Sounds like my grandfather. He plays flat-footed. Who is this? Flat-footed. 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 You folks have to listen to Jones at night. They know, they've heard of this critter, and they know he's high-hipped, and they know what his trichondrial is and where he projects on the board. They know it. They will tell you. They will spend 10 minutes on it, where this guy is going to go in the second round, and how the high hips are going to factor in. High-hipped. High-hipped. So anyway, put it on the board.
Yeah. That's so true. They know the board. They know the board. They know the top 100. Like, oh, that was a reach in the third round. You will hear him say that.
Herman Munster.
He's more of a fifth round guy. High hips.
Brilliant.
Felger and Maz.